It's 16 days to the National Day of Prayer, which was launched just this week. Bishop Duncan Zoke was there. Archbishop Buti Tlhagale was also there. In fact, he's on the line with me now to chat about this and other things. Your Grace.
Good morning.
How are you, Ndadi?
I'm fine, and how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Ndadi. And happy Friday, by the way.
Thank you, same to you.
And we call it Gratitude Friday here on Radio Veritas.
I see.
And we're very grateful that we're able to speak to you this morning.
No, it's a pleasure.
Now, Ndadi, this week, I think let's start with that. National Day of Prayer was launched, which will be actually happening on the 26th of November. What do you want to tell us about the launch?
The idea was to gather religious leaders from the various different traditions, and together that we should prepare for a National Day of Prayer. The idea of a National Day of Prayer, the purpose would be to try and highlight and emphasize the need for unity in the country. In spite of our diversity as a nation, there is obviously a need. After 24 years or so of democracy in this country, there is still a felt need to work towards unity. And that really would be the main thrust of the day of prayer. But there are also other concerns that need to be brought to the fore with regard to the needs in the country. For example, there are other challenges of crime in the country, of gangsterism, challenges of, we've been reading in the press in the recent months, the murder, especially this year, the murder of women, the abuse of children. The murder of women has really captured the nation in the sense that some women have been murdered, burnt in the felt. And it's somehow or other the nations, there seems to be something wrong in our nation. So the day of prayer is to try and bring some of this concerns to the fore as we pray for a united nation with the hope that many people will awaken to this call, that we be able to take care of each other, be each other's brother, each other's sister. So that's what's going to be happening on that day, praying about some of these concerns and hopefully thereby highlighting them and bringing them to the attention of the political leadership and the leadership in the various spheres in our country who will then try and do something about this. So that's the purpose of the day of prayer.
And Your Grace, of the 26th of November, was it chosen because it's a date that's available, or are there reasons for that? How was it chosen?
It coincides with the 16th day of activism in the country. So that was probably just a coincidence, I suspect.
Yes.
And it was also simply a day on which the venue was available.
So that's the 26th of November, 90,000 seater. That's what FNB is. You think South Africans will come to this?
I think so. I think there's there's been several meetings before the launch, actually, on Monday. There were several meetings of the different religious leaders, and they have committed themselves to coming along with their congregations. So I have no doubt that they will fill the stadium. 93 or so thousand people should be able to turn up. What one would also appeal for is that it shouldn't just be a sea of black faces, hopefully, that we will reflect the diversity of the population of South Africa on that particular day.
So in other words, then we have black people, we have white people, we have Indians, we have coloureds, and in between, yes.
Hopefully there will be such a positive response to that. The leaders themselves have been very upbeat about it, and so I think it's really up to them to encourage their followers to come.
And Dr. Tlhagale, it's different churches, different denominations, different religious groupings, so to speak. And so what will the program take? What sort of form will it take? Any idea on that?
Yes, I think generally speaking, what the organizers are hoping for is that each faith group would be given space. So I'm not very sure about the time, but I don't think the time can be more than 8 minutes, 7-8 minutes. There are 40 religious leaders present there. So
yes,
if one wants to accommodate most of them, you're going to give them something like, yeah, just about between five and eight minutes each group. And so you will have the Jews, the Baha'i, the Hindi, the Muslims, the Catholics, Anglicans, St. John's, etc., etc., Shembe, the various groups, the Nazarenes, etc. They also will have their space of about, as I say, average 6-7 minutes. And hopefully there will also be some gospel singers.
Now, for Catholics, what would be your message for that day?
The message we would like to put forth as Catholics is, again, to, as a local church in the diocese, in the country, also to be able to be concerned with issues that concern the nations, concerned with issues of unity within the Catholic Church. My impression is that we are quite happy to be Christian, as long as you don't ask us to cross our cultural, social boundaries.
Yes.
You know, we're quite happy where we are. We're quite happy to be called Catholic or Christian. But don't ask us to cross those borders. And that's one of the major challenges I see in this country. We're all prepared to be South Africans, as long as you don't ask us to cross the boundaries.
But in fact, sometimes even in a parish, I joined this sodality and you belong to that sodality, and don't ask me to cross.
Unfortunately, there is that inward-looking mindset which we need to get rid of, or try and change our minds and be more open towards others. And so that is a problem with becoming, when you, these group sodalities are supposed to be, if you wish, schools of, I always say, schools where you prepare yourself, schools of holiness, as it were, where you intensify your own faith, rather than being schools where people cling together and become a clique, and because then that becomes a disadvantage. You simply want to serve that particular group instead of serving the whole parish community or serving the whole diocese or even as a religion. Faith community, begin to stretch out your hands towards others across the barrier who have needs, who should be taken care of. So I think the idea of this unity, whilst we praise our diversity, but we also need to emphasize that we are one and be able to stretch our arm across these boundaries.
Now, that after the 26th of November, or after the event on the 26th of November, what are you hoping people will be taking away from it, and what do they do with it?
I hope it will raise our awareness of the needs that are there in our midst, in our communities, in our country. And that is why I hope that it will not be a once-off occasion, this kind of National Day of Prayer, and that somehow in the new year in February, the same leaders will be gathering to take stock. And hopefully at that meeting, we will continue to see that there is a need at one point or another as we go forward. There will be a need to keep on trying to bring people together to break the barriers. Now, we are at a disadvantage in many ways in South Africa that we're still very much caught up in the apartheid divisions, just in terms of where we are located, where we stay, etc. And that's a big challenge. But nonetheless, there are occasions. I would hope, for example, when we have national occasions like June 16 or Remembrance Day, March 21st or December 16, when we have these national occasions, that people will be able to gather together to show the spirit of unity in the country. Up till now, when unfortunately our political leaders also tend to use these occasions as occasions for holding political rallies, I think we need to move away from that and begin to promote a spirit of unity by bringing the nation together, various people from different backgrounds coming together to celebrate together and not an occasion of being divisive by promoting one ideology or one political party's aspirations, etc. I think we need to go beyond that on those days that are designated as days of bringing the entire nation together. So hopefully that kind of message might begin to take root in our communities.
And very important then to highlight that it's held in Johannesburg, but it's a national event.
It's a national thing. For example, I think that very weekend, the 21st, 25th, some of the leaders will be going to celebrate with the Muslims community in Cape Town,
yes.
With the Jewish community. And the idea is also to try and say this is something that should spread throughout the country, even though the major day will be celebrated here in Johannesburg.
Now that there's some domestic issues for us, the
okay.
Shrine. What's the update on the shrine now from Ntate Buti Tlhagane?
The project of the shrine is still going ahead. I guess we would like to, next year, if possible, build a multi-purpose center that will accommodate 3,000 people, but that's going to cost, we already have a bill of quantities. That's going to be still around 19 million rand. So that's really what we're looking at present. To date, we've raised 10 million, so we're still short of 9 million. I would hope that next weekend we'll be drawing the raffle and hopefully it will bring in some money. That's where we are at, really, working hard to raise the funds to build this multi-purpose center. And many people are involved in trying to raise funds, etc.
Yes.
So that's where we are at present.
And Your Grace, what are your concerns at the moment about the shrine?
Oh, basically just fundraising, really. Basically just fundraising. What the priest in charge of the shrine, Father Charles, he's already there are small pilgrimages from various parishes that are going there so that they to spend a day there or a weekend there. There's accommodation for 130 people. So there are already people going there for prayer on a pilgrimage. And I think in so doing, people become used to the idea of going on pilgrimage in Johannesburg. And hopefully in turn, they will also want to promote the idea to contribute towards this project. So that's really the main concern at the present, that we, so far as I say, we've raised 10 million rand.
Yes.
And hopefully we will raise the rest of the money as well.
So really also encouraging people to come and visit the shrine, because I think it's very important, you know, through these many pilgrimages, for people to come and see what the site looks like. You know, I think it's always good to say, you know, this, it was like this, and now look how, what it has turned out to be.
Yes, but also, as we've said before, that the strange part is that it is in Johannesburg where you don't have a diocesan shrine. Almost all the other dioceses, they have their own diocesan shrine. Now, the value of a diocesan shrine is, it also raises awareness amongst parishioners that it's not only, you don't only belong to your parish, but you also belong to a bigger church, to a diocese, and eventually to the Universal Catholic Church, but also to promote the spirituality of Mary, also to enhance our own prayer life by sharing and seeing other witnesses of people of faith in our communities. And that in itself, I think personally, when you see many people apart from just your own parish gathering and praying, that normally strengthens one's faith. So hopefully there will be those spiritual benefits as we go ahead in developing this idea of the shrine.
Now, Your Grace, I asked you about your concerns with regards to the shrine. What do you want to brag about in terms of the shrine? What are you grateful for?
There's nothing to brag about, really. There's nothing to brag about except to say that we're greatly impressed by the efforts that are being made by individuals and groups in fundraising, it's an amazing commitment. And it's almost a humbling experience to see people who are committed in their own faith. Mark you, the devotion to Our Lady, the prayer to the Rosary, this has always been part and parcel of the Catholic tradition. And lots of people, every weekend here, there are buses that go to Ngome. I do know that annually people go to Njongweni, they go to Kavala. So the tradition of pilgrimages, even within our diocese, within our Catholic Church in the country, has always been strong. It's just that here I would also like to give an opportunity to local people to be able to gather together. It doesn't replace their practice of going to Ngome or Kavala. They will certainly continue doing that, but it also gives local people a chance to gather together in honor of Our Lady. And you do know that every year there are people, especially this year, there are people even going to Medjugorje, to Fatima, especially this year because
yes,
Fatima is celebrating 100 years. So lots of people have gone on pilgrimage to Fatima. So there's a very strong tradition within the local church of going on pilgrimages.
And that's the Archbishop of Johannesburg, Archbishop Buti Tlhagale. Thank you very much for your time. And we know that people will continue supporting Tabaya Shrine. And of course, they'll be coming in their numbers as well, Kadi 26th November.
I also wanted to say that, as I said, the draft will be drawn on the 18th of November this month. We're drawing the raffle. So those who still have the tickets with them, please do something about those tickets so that we're able to make to draw that raffle on the 18th of November.
And that car is mine, Your Grace.
Hopefully you've bought several tickets. You need to have bought 10 tickets in order to make it.
Okay, so at least 10.
Okay.
You have a great one, Ralebuanda.
Thank you, it's a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much.
And it's 9 minutes to 8 o'clock on Radio Veritas, 576 AM.